Jesus, it's just so perfect to be here with you. There's nothing we need more than you. Thank you so much for drawing us into your presence and revealing so much of your splendor to us and enabling us to worship and give you the glory that you deserve, Jesus. Our little offering, Lord, is just so small, but I know you value it so highly. You look on the hearts of your people and you love what you see. Everyone's trying, and you don't despise any small beginning. You love us so much. And I want to thank you so much, Jesus, for this time. It's just been so glorious to encounter your presence like I haven't in a long time. And your peace that just fills my heart and this room and these amazing people. Lord, thank you so much. Bless you, Jesus. Everything is worthwhile when it's centered in you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you. You're worthy of all our praise. You, Lamb of God. You're worthy of all our praise. And we give you glory. And we want to keep our hearts focused on you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to find yourself somewhere comfortable or stay where you are, it doesn't matter. Just be comfortable. Sit down, lie down, stand, whatever. We honor the presence of Jesus. We're reluctant and slow to leave the presence, so we stay here. This is our resting place. Jesus. Welcome, guys, everybody. So glad you're here. About 43 years ago, one night, a hippie girl wandered into All Souls Langham Place just up the road here. Angry and desperate for reality. And that night she met Jesus.
Amen.
And for going on half a century, this girl has been fighting a good fight. She's never given up. She has never accepted anything less than what he has promised. She has never seen any challenge being too big. Whatever the cost, it was never a problem to pay it, because she'd fallen in love. And I've asked her to come and preach to you tonight because I want you to know what she speaks from. It's a woman who's won victory after victory in her life, has never given up. And I want you to know that what comes out of her spirit comes out of that heart. So I want to ask Dot to come, and I want to honor her. She's my wife. I'm so blessed to be married to her.
We always, you know, our priority is that everyone meets with God. So we always say, Holy Spirit, if you don't want us to preach, then that's fine. But I do have a sense that he has something to say tonight. I just felt God's pleasure on all of us, because we're, you know, it's Friday night. You could be in the pub, you know, and you've chosen to be here. And he loves hunger. God always responds to hunger. And, you know, I just think he sees here tonight hungry ones. you know, ones who, and his heart is so for you. His heart is so to see you come into everything that he has for you. And this is such a beautiful presence tonight, isn't there? Just such a glorious freedom and peace. And some, you know, I love Holy Spirit because he's different every night, isn't he? He's always different. He's different. You know, sometimes he's really happy and we're jumping around in freedom, and other times he's really deep and precious like tonight. And just want to honor these amazing women, Claire and Helen. Do you mind playing? When you get, it's just lovely to continue in the same. The Lord did give me a word tonight, but you know, I'm sort of ranging between a few words at the moment, so let's see what happens. Holy Spirit, it's over to you. You're so glorious, my God. And all my heart's cry is that tonight every person will have an encounter with you in the Word tonight. God, your Word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it never returns void. It always accomplishes that which you send it for, God. And we cry tonight that your sword would be a living word on the inside of us, God. That there'd be a rhema word for people. God, I pray that for those who've lost hope, there'd be a word of hope tonight. I pray that for those who need healing, God, there'd be healing tonight. I pray that those who just need deliverance, that there'd be complete freedom tonight, God. I pray that each person will just receive that rhema word that's going to sometimes cut deep, God, and surgically, but mostly just for life. For life and for fruitfulness. God, we want to be a fruitful people. Oh, Holy Spirit, I honor you tonight. Without you, God, there's nothing. And Lord, I'm just so hungry for you right now. I'm just so hungry for more of you, Lord. We want to see the world around us transformed, my God, by what you do in our hearts tonight. I don't know if you can, guys, agree with me, but just tell God that you want him to do whatever he wants to do with you tonight. God, we just lay our lives before you. You've said that the worship that you look for is our lives laid down. Sacrifice of our lives laid down before you, God. We just give our lives to you right now, Jesus. Come and do what you need to do in us, God. Because we do want to be effective in the world, God. We want our lives to count. So thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking tonight to every heart, every single heart, God. You know each one. You know them and you love them passionately. Oh, God, and your destiny and your plan and your purpose for each life is awesome. God, you're amazing. Do you know that I've walked with God now for 40 years, as Les said? In October, it'll be 40 years. Yay! And, you know, I'm more in love with him now and more hungry than I've ever been. And I just want more of the Holy Spirit. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry to have words of knowledge for people on the tube. I'm so hungry to see, you know, the dead raised. And guys, we've got Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We've got this treasure in these earthen vessels. And my vessel's getting a bit old now. But boy, you know, oh, man. The Lord renews our youth like the eagles. Isn't that amazing? Oh, Jesus. Woo. I don't know if this is the right time. Are we running? You've got all night, hey? I mean, most of you were here for most of the night last Friday, so we're not in a rush, are we? No? I just felt it. Oh, okay. It's Friday. Oh, well, have you got Bibles with you? I hope so. If you haven't, there's some Bibles over here. Okay. I think it would be good for everyone to have a sword in their hands. Oh, yes. Psalm 103. Please send one. I just love David. He's my hero. He's an amazing man. I love the Psalms, don't you? I was reading something of Bill Johnson's the other day, and he said, you know, just read the Word until Holy Spirit comes, until He breathes life on the Word. And I find that when I start reading the Psalms, God starts to minister to me deep in my spirit. Do you find that? Because David knew God, you know, and that's what gives me hope, because he was quite a naughty boy, you know. But God still called him a man after his own heart, because David was so quick to repent, you know, and he just loved the presence of God. I mean, he said one thing. I was thinking, you know, when Solomon had that amazing dream, and the Lord said to him, you know, you can have any request. What would you like? Imagine God coming to you and saying to you, okay, you can have whatever you like. I mean, what right now? Think about it. What would you ask for? Anything. This is the living God asking you, what would you like? You know, I should imagine, I mean, you could ask for wisdom like Solomon did, discernment. You know, you want to be famous, you want to be rich, you want to be successful. David said, one thing have I asked for. One thing I require, I desire as my necessity is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know, to live. I know this is a different psalm, but that was David's heart. And so that's why I love him so much. But this psalm is amazing. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We all know the psalm, but all my inmost being praise his holy name. And, you know, I just wanted to give us some tools tonight, tools for victorious Christian living, reigning in life. Because, you know, we need to speak to our souls, guys. And I think David understood that. You know, he just spoke to his soul. He said, praise the Lord, O my soul. He spoke. He commanded his soul to praise God. And you know, many of us, we do know that the power of praise, the enemy hates praise. In Psalm 149, it says, with a two-edged sword in our hands and the high praises of God in our mouths, that's our warfare. That's the way we clear the enemies. Praise is a very powerful weapon in our mouths. And so I love the fact that David actually spoke to his soul. And, you know, on a Monday morning, I don't know how you feel when you wake up, but, you know, many mornings I wake up and the first thought that hits me is negative one. You know, it's like, what's going on about that? What's happening? But we somehow need to awaken our souls and speak to our souls and command our souls to praise God, because he is so worthy of praise. And you know, words are so powerful. And you know, we know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so whatever we speak has resounding power. And that's why we do burns. Because when we praise God, it changes the atmosphere. It absolutely changes the atmosphere of the whole area that we live in. And you know, sometimes it just seems like craziness. You know, what are we doing? 12 hours of worship or 24 hours of worship? And it just seems like crazy. And we've had Christians say to us, what are you doing that for? You know, why, you know, most churches worship for 20 minutes, huh? 3 fast songs, 2 slow songs, sermon. And God longs for the praises of his people. He created us. He created us to worship. That is the end of man. The purpose of man is to worship God and enjoy him forever. I mean, you know, church should be the most hilarious, wonderful, free, happy place in the world, because we're meant to be enjoying God. You know, and I think if we enjoyed God more, the people out there would want to come inside. Don't you? I mean, there we, at university, we used to call the Christians God Squad because they were just dreadful, you know. They walked around with glum faces and they judged everybody and they looked condemning and they were very prim and proper, you know. And I think as Christians, we're meant to outlive and outthink and outjoy the rest of the world, don't you? Because we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. I want to tell you the most amazing story. This week I was really privileged. I was in a prayer meeting, just a small group of us praying for Israel. And in this group there was this old man of 82 who is he's not actually a rabbi, but he's a messianic Jew who got saved. And you know how he got saved? Because for a Jew to get saved is really, really difficult. You know, there's everything comes against that, because in Israel right now, they would embrace witchcraft, New Age, Buddhism, everything other than Christianity and Islam. But really, Christianity is the big no-no. Christians there and Messianic Jews are really persecuted in Israel. But this guy, he was an electrician, and he was a young man, and he was working in a house. And somehow, the two-day work that he had to do extended to 12 days. And this was a Christian family. And they didn't, you know, knock him over the head with a Bible and start preaching the gospel to him. But he began to, I think it was smell the fragrance of Jesus in the place. And he began to feel the presence of God in the place. And he said some days he left and he felt like he was walking on air. And then he started to say to them, okay, what's with you guys? You know, something's different here. And they started to tell him about Jesus. And it's an awesome story. And he was so challenged by that. And you know, in the Bible it says the Jews demand a sign. And he said, if you want to pray for Jewish people, pray for a sign for them. So he said to the Lord, okay, give me a sign. If this is the truth, if this Jesus story is the truth, which is going to change my life, because he knew he was going to come under persecution, be rejected by his family, everything else, you give me a sign. And the next day he walked in there and he went upstairs to do something. And as he put his hand up, the power of God hit him. He said he felt like a hand came down on him and he pushed him to the floor. And he got gloriously, amazingly saved. But you know what it was? It was the presence of God. You know, and that's what we carry. And so I want you guys, just now, to have a break. But Josh, just come and tell us a few of the things that happened this week. With you and or Ezekiel, whoever wants to come, Kenrick. Whoever wants to share, not long, but just what the presence of God does. And we all carry the presence.
So I said to the lady, like, have you guys got any pain in your body? And she broke her coccyx or something, her bone, I think so, tailbone. And I was like, and she told me now she gets like spasms in her back and she's in a lot of pain. And I was like, okay, let me pray for you. And she's like, okay. And I prayed for her. First of all, I said, can you touch your toes? And she bent down to about there. And she couldn't touch her toes because of, you know, the pain and all that and the restriction. And I said, okay, I prayed for her. And I said, now touch your toes. And she bends down. And she touched her toes completely like this, you know. And she's like, oh, my goodness. I couldn't do that, you know. And completely healed. All the pain left her body. And, And that was amazing. And even her friend, the guy, He was like saying, oh, now you have to go to church and stuff with them, like, you know, promoting it. He asked us what church we go to, and we told them. And he was like, now you got to go to church with them, like, because they did this. And they were really both impacted and stuff by that. And then we went into the mall, and just amazing. Do you want to share anything, bro? Do you want to, Kendrick, anything?
Can you tell them about some of the words of knowledge?
Yeah.
Thanks. We all have this, guys. We all carry the presence of God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I was on the way to prayer meeting,
And I was on the bus. So anyway, I was sat on my own on the bus. I was just reading my Bible. And all of a sudden, I felt like somebody had a pain in the right thumb. So I was just saying, Lord, who is it? And in less than 10 seconds, there was a fella who was sat across from me. And he came across and sat next to me. And he was texting. So while he was texting, I was looking at his right thumb to see whether it was deformed or there was something wrong with it. And anyway, he finished texting, and I said to him, I'm a Christian. I just want to ask you something. Have you got something wrong with your thumb, your right thumb? So he turned his thumb around, and there was a scar on his thumb. And he said, it feels numb. Because when he was a chef, he cut his thumb, and he lost the feelings in his thumb. So I said, okay, wow. So I prayed for him. Then it wasn't until he said something that I realized he was a Muslim guy. But he welcomed the prayer. I said, I prayed in the name of Jesus. And he felt really blessed with that. Then he went on his journey. So anyway, I came onto I got onto the tube, and I saw a man with a walking stick. So I thought, okay, there's opportunity here. So I sat next to him, and he said to me that he's a Christian. I had my Bible, and he saw it, and he said, he's a Christian. And I said to him, what's wrong with your leg? And he said, oh, he's got a problem with his calf, his right calf. He's been suffering some pain. So he woke up in the morning with some pain in his calf. So what he did, he went to the shop, and he bought a walking stick, he said, for about £2.99. And seriously, it was good value as well. And but anyway, I said, I want to pray for you. So I prayed for him, and the pain left. And he said, it's gone. And the amazing thing about this man was he was 73 years old, and he was going to work. And I said to him, you're still working? He says, yeah. He said, he retired from a company, but they called him back after a while. And he's an engineer. And I really thank the Lord, because he was tremendously blessed. And we all have the Holy Spirit, and we all have the ability to listen to the voice of God and allow him to tell us what's wrong with people and then to minister to them. So it's all about practice. So we thank the Lord for Jesus. Just keep doing what you're doing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Does that encourage you? Isn't that amazing? We all have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And the next verse, get back to the psalm, is about forgetting his benefits. And you know, I just think this is essential, because somehow thanksgiving is powerful in our lives. Praise is powerful, but thanksgiving is hugely powerful. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says, be joyful always. This is a command. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's it, you know. We should be the most thankful people. Antonio, welcome back. It's good to see you guys. But as Christians, we need to be so thankful so that we're always counting the benefits, you know. It's terribly important. God, all the way through the Old Testament, told the people to remember, to make memorials of the things God had done so that they wouldn't forget, because he knows us. We forget so easily. And, you know, one year, we just wrote down a list of Thanksgiving every day, the whole family. Do you remember it? We used to just write down everything that we were thankful for. And it was amazing how it changes your whole mindset. You know? We need to be grateful and thankful. So I was going to do this, just say, you know, take a minute or two to just thank God right now. In fact, let's do it. Just thank God for all his benefits, for all the blessings. You know, the fact that we can see, the fact that, oh, there's so much that we know him. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, cause us to be such a thankful people. Cause us to be grateful. that we would live in a place of thankfulness and joy, because you want us to be so full of thanksgiving and joy. Thanksgiving is the gate into your presence. Praise and thanksgiving are the gate into your presence, God. They are the beginning of our journey into your presence. And God, I pray that you would do something tonight in our hearts, that we would be really thankful. Oh, God, that we wouldn't take things for granted. God, the fact that we are able to walk, that we're able to see, that you've given us such a beautiful world to live in, God. Oh, Jesus, restore to us the joy of our salvation, God. Restore to us the gratitude for what you've done. God, give us a fresh revelation of your goodness in this place, even tonight. Jesus, you're awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I pray that we would go to sleep every night with thanksgiving on our tongues and in our hearts, God. That we would sleep well because we're thankful. God, that we wouldn't be thinking about all the dreadful things that have happened in the day or the news. God, we would focus our hearts on you. That we would be a thankful people, a joyful people. God, that your joy would be our strength, because you are the one who gives us strength, God. Oh, Jesus, I pray that this church would become the most joyful, free place in London, God. I pray that this place would be such a habitation of your presence, God. Such thankful people, God. Wow. Do you know that we can come against the spirit of this age in the city, because the spirit in London is cynicism. That's what it's in every newspaper. You know, I was so challenged this week. I was reading Psalm 1 and it says, I will not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. And I thought, I spend such a lot of time reading newspapers. I'm sitting in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm permeating my brain, my mind, my spirit with ungodly negativity. And then what does it do? It comes out of your spirit. It comes out of your mouth. You know, and we can curse or bless with our tongues. And I'm appalled sometimes by the things I hear people saying to their kids, you know. You're so stupid. You're clumsy. It's cursing people. Our tongues are so important. And so that's why when we're telling our souls to be thankful, when we're speaking out the word of God, when we're proclaiming truth, it changes our lives. And so I just want to encourage us with that, you know, to just be thankful. And and because praise changes us. It changes the atmosphere, praise and worship, but it also changes us. Don't you find after you've spent a lot of time in the presence of God, you're just different? Because, you know, Ruth and I have been praying in the mornings, and I'm just asking God to bring my mind into alignment with his mind. Because we have the mind of Christ. But it just doesn't automatically happen. It doesn't download it like computer program. Clunk. You know, I have the mind of Christ. We have to, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's where the word of God comes in, and praise and declaring the word and speaking the word. So this is very practical tonight. Is that okay? And nobody's allowed to go to sleep. But look at the benefits, guys. He forgives all your sins. Woo! Isn't that incredible? If anybody is sitting here tonight feeling guilty about anything, that's just from the pit of hell. As Les said, the accuser is standing there day and night accusing us before the Father. But Jesus is interceding for us at the same time, showing his nail-pierced hands and saying, I have paid with my life the debt. So he's ransomed us. And look at, just there's so many benefits. I mean, you could preach on this all day, but forgives all our sins, heals all your diseases, guys. Woo! Those guys at the back really believe it, don't you? And that's why they can take the healing onto the streets. And what I love about them is that they don't. We don't organize it from this church, you know. On Mondays, we're going to go on healing on the streets. They just do it. They just do it wherever they are. And guys, I want to encourage us. We've all got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We all can hear His voice. We're all learning and pushing in. And as Kenrick said, you know, if I remember, you know, John Wimber, you've heard of John Wimber, amazing man of God. He said that when the Lord gave him a revelation of healing, every person they prayed for died or they caught the diseases for about a year. And they never stopped. They just carried on until they got a breakthrough. And Bill Johnson says that as well. In Bethel, where there's an open heaven over the place, they've had to contend and fight for every victory in health, you know. They're declaring it a cancer-free zone, but they still have occasional people who die from cancer. But increasingly, they're winning. And that is how we do it, guys. It's little by little we take the kingdom. We extend the kingdom into the world, little by little, through not giving up. And so I believe we should pray for anything that moves. You know, and who cares if they don't get healed? Sometimes I just say, God, it's for your name. You know, please come through. But yeah, and that's the way we increase our faith is by practice. Yeah? So next week we're going to have loads of testimonies. Yes. Because we've all got it. All we need to do is practice and keep on. And I've heard people who really move in the gifts of the Spirit say, you know, they've got it wrong loads of times. So what? You know, just a bit of egg on my face. That's a big deal. It's good for humbling. You know, it's not a big deal. But God loves it when we try, when we're just pushing in. And we're because every time we do something positive for the kingdom, we push back the darkness. Everything you do, every time we declare the word, we're pushing back darkness. Every time we pray for the sick, we're pushing back darkness. Amen. Every positive thing, every time we give thanksgiving, every time we praise, it's breaking through the darkness. So there's all these amazing things. He redeems your life from the pit. And you know what Les said was true. When I got saved 40 years ago in London, I was such a mess. You wouldn't believe it. I was such a mess. And God redeemed my life from the pit. He pulled me out of the pit. And He gave me a new name. And He made me a new creation. And He did that with every one of you. And it's amazing because every person's story is completely unique. And that's why we should never compare ourselves with anyone else, you know. It's a terrible thing to do that. To feel like they're better than me or they have a greater anointing than me. We all, you know, stand before God individually, and He loves every one of us, and He's got, and His plan for each life is so amazing. And He crowns you with love and compassion, and that is amazing because that means, you know, we are royalty, guys. Woo! We're crowned. Wherever you go, you carry the crown of authority, of beauty. The gems in the crown are love and compassion and loving kindness and tender mercies. That's how God sees you. He sees you crowned because you're royal. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, set apart for His purposes. Isn't that awesome? And He satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Ha ha, I love that. I've been saying to the Lord, I don't understand that. What do you mean? And today I found on the internet, amazing, I found a whole thing by Spurgeon. Amazing. I mean, old-fashioned language, but such revelation about what that means. Because I've never understood it. Do you understand it? Because I want to know, because I want my youth to be renewed like the eagles. And you know what it is? It's that God satisfies us. He satisfies our souls. You know, the more filled with God we are, the more at peace we are, the more full of His Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. There's no stress. There's no worry. Most sickness is related to the soul, you know? So we can expect that we're going to get more and more beautiful, more healthy, more whole, younger as we get older. So that the world sits and says, how do you do it, you know? I believe they're going to be saying that to us. They're going to say, I thought you were 40 years younger. I mean, look at Caleb. You know, he was as strong at 82 as he was when he was 42. Because he believed God, because he was living in the promises of God, he was filling himself with God, filling himself, satisfying his soul with God. And then out of your mouth comes praise, comes positive stuff. Isn't that beautiful? And he's renewing your youth, and he's restoring your joy, and he's giving you new zest in your step. Woo! Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just amazing. I think we're running out of time, and we want to break bread. So I've got loads more, but you know? Just to make you hungry for some more. And, you know, he executes justice and righteousness. Now, that's a good place to end. Okay, we'll end there. So, God, Holy Spirit, God, as we break bread tonight, we just really want, we don't want this to be same as, we don't want this to be a ritual, we don't want it to be religious, but we really want to meet with you. We want you to give us a fresh revelation of what this really meant for you, Jesus, when you went to the cross. We want the cross, the truth of the cross, to impact our lives tonight in a fresh way. Amen. Not in a somber religious way, but in a joyous but deep way. So, Holy Spirit, won't you come and just ignite our hearts as we meet with you in the breaking of bread. Your body and your blood, Jesus. And thank you that there's such, we don't understand the mystery of this, but we do know that there's power in your blood, power for healing, deliverance, breakthrough. God, power in your blood. Thank you that your body, we are your body, broken in London, God. Thank you that you're gathering a family of God from different tribes, different tongues, different nations, but you're gathering a family that expresses your life in this place. And we thank you, God, that as we break bread, we are one. We declare we are one. We are together. We are family. Thank you for your amazing love, Jesus. Thank you, my God.